Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. I have in studio with me my trusty partner, Letitia. Letitia, hello.
Hello.
And as always, Paul.
The grumpy old Paul here, wondering, you're gonna do my favorite topics today here.
It is. I think it is one of your favorite topics. So we're going to continue our theme of what keeps you up at night. And we've decided to uncover one of the biggest ones. Paul's biggest concern is retirement planning.
Yeah. It used to be you could figure this stuff out. But now, hey, lucky us, we're going to be the longest lived generation in history. We got less money saved and no pensions. So lucky us. Well, how am I going to live to be 100?
So that is definitely one of the issues, and we might as well start with that. People are living longer. You know, as recent as about 50 years ago, average life expectancy was 65, 66, and retirement age was 65. So there really wasn't that long of a retirement. So now we're the average life expectancy is what now, Letitia, for male, female, give or take.
Much longer.
So we're in like the 85, 82 to 85. So it's significantly longer.
But even though that's the expectancy, we always say we want to have people plan to their 90s.
90 to 100. Yeah.
Correct.
And we have clients that are well into their to their 90s.
Yeah.
So incidentally, so you uncovered a little fun fact, and I have my own about how people live longer. So what's your fun fact, Letitia?
Oh, that I found?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true, though. I did read a study that said that people who have children, actually at least one child, live longer than people who have no children.
Yeah.
Not when they're teenagers.
Yeah. or even younger.
And when you share that with me, I had to rethink that. Like, I'm certain I have years off my life scraped away.
So according to this Harvard study that I read, it had to do with two things. One, it had to do with more social interactions when you were older. So people were visiting you, those family members, children, loved ones that cared about you, that shared those family memories. And it kept you better lack of another word, a will to live. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing had to do with those children or grandchildren and these heirs. What they were doing is they were taking care of you. So it could potentially be if you were in a home, they were visiting you or they're taking you to the doctors. They're actually checking in on you and they're checking, they're helping you with sometimes day to day or periodically. So that's kind of where that information was stemming from, physically in your older years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had read something recently that didn't talk about children, but a couple other things I thought were super interesting. And this book studied centurions, so those who had reached the age of 100. And they found that every single one of them had these common traits. One, they all drank some sort of alcohol on a very limited basis.
Uh-huh.
Two, they had some sort of higher belief, some sort of higher spiritual belief.
Mm-hmm.
And three, they all ate meat. So there was no vegetarians.
Interesting.
And what I find really interesting about that is there was...
You do all those things?
I do all those things, which made me feel really good. But I used to work with an advisor who did none of those things.
Oh, no.
So it was with great joy that I present this to him.
Oh, that's terrible.
He immediately started looking at his spirituality, and I think he took a drink.
So you changed his life. So you do have an impact in people's lives.
I think I had some impact. So to take it once, so we're with regards to that and living longer, I think we have, there's many different aspects of that. And, you know, our current generation, I think you're on kind of the real, real tail end of it, and Paul and I are closer to the other end of it. But it's called the sandwich generation.
Uh-huh.
And that is, and there's so many examples, and I'm one currently, is we're taking care of both sides of our generation. So I'm, call me a parent. I'm still assisting to a certain degree. Well, of course, my three-year-old.
A certain degree.
But many listeners know I have older children as well. And so, I mean, when I'm by older, they're in their 30s. But anyway, they require assistance more often than I would like. And then we have our parents.
We have a segment that helps get your kids out of the house, by the way.
Yeah, so that one's coming up soon. the failure to launch syndrome.
No, but like you said, you're defining a sandwich parent. What that means is you're still taking care of your kids, but also having to think about your parents as well. Poor Paul over here.
He's
not doing well. I'm afraid we need some hand sanitizer just to be in here today.
So we're living longer. We're, as a sandwich generation, we're taking care of our elder and or failing parents. We're taking care of our kids who are staying at home longer. So, and what's the common theme behind all that? Money.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those things cost money.
Right.
Living longer costs money. We're gonna get into that.
So just taking a step back, just to putting some context of what we said, if you, in the back of your mind, say, I want to retire at age 65, I don't know what, everyone's number is a little different, but let's just say that's been kind of a number people have had in the back of their mind. I want to retire at age 65. Now, you should plan on making and having enough savings to be able to cover 30 to 40 years after you retire. So let that sink in a little bit, because that's a lot of years to be able to make sure your nest egg covers. And we help our clients get there. But things you want to take in consideration is, what are your costs of living today? And assume, okay, maybe medical expenses goes up, or maybe you pay off your house. But you have to take in consideration of, what's that number look like that you need every single year? And then you have to take in consideration of that for 30 to 40 years.
Right.
And then, I mean, you get a little bit of a perk. So maybe you have some Social Security, or maybe you have a pension. If you're my age, pension's unheard of. You're self-funding. Mm-hmm. So you better be like maximizing your self-funding. So then that way you're taking advantage of that when you retire. But there's these other buckets that help assist. But at the end of the day, you still have to meet that amount of money each and every year, and having that compound. And oh, by the way, you want to have your money at least do better than inflation and all those other fun things that are going against you once you're not making money.
So what I would advise our listeners as they work with their advisors is to really take a hard look at first of all, what their current expenses are.
Yeah.
And then just to share what we do so that the audience can take that as an example. As you know, there's certain expenses that are not impacted by inflation. Mm-hmm. And those might be your mortgage or any fixed rate loans that you might have. Those are fixed. They're not going to go up with inflation. But pretty much everything else, maybe to certain degrees, you know, the cost of milk is going to go up a certain degree, the cost of travel, the cost of fuel. And all those need to be reflected properly, because what costs a dollar today, 20 or 30 years from now, is going to cost a lot more than a dollar. And I think the other thing to really make sure that it is planned for is realistic on how long certain expenses are going to last.
Right.
Because that can work both as a positive and a negative towards your, I think, your retirement planning well-being. As an example, someone may come out of the gate, and most of our clients, as you know, do this, they'll come out of the gate, you know, so gung-ho on travel, you know, and they may have a, you know, on relatively speaking, a pretty big travel budget.
Yeah.
But what you and I have both found is that doesn't last forever. Either it gets old and or they're incapable of travel. Or like I said, maybe they're just like, hey, we've done it. We've seen everything. And I just want to kind of chill out here at home.
Yeah.
So I think in proper retirement planning, just take an example. Someone retires at 65.
Let's make it simple. 10 to 15 years
of whatever that more significant budget of travel. And then maybe they cut it to two. You know, one third, because they're going to go visit kids or grandkids once or twice a year.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. Activities. Someone may be like all into golf. You know, we have a handful of clients that are so into golf, and you know, that's, you know, potentially going to slow down. I don't know, at age 80 or 90, whenever you can't throw a club around. Yeah. So those are kind of the realistic things, and I think super important. And you know, beginning, and you know, I think there's going to be a few cliches in today's show, but you know, beginning with the end in mind, I think, is so important when it comes to this kind of planning. And then I think I'm probably going slightly off of our agenda here, but planning properly as far as the investment return / the delta between return and expense.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you know, we like to see at least a 2% spread between investment return versus the income withdrawal. I mean, that's a perfect world. But that's
like
not a
4%
spread.
That's me. The minimum is 2.
Yeah, but you know, on the other hand, I've said this, you know, early on in my kind of my revelation show is, I don't think there's any absolutes, and so
we
both have clients that have well taken care of any of their kids, beneficiaries, and siblings, and for the rest of their money, they want to spend it.
Yeah.
So in that case, you don't need that delta. You just need the proper plan to say, hey, what if you live to 100?
Yeah.
Let's not exhaust that money before you're gone.
Yeah.
So all that, I think, can be accomplished not only by creating the plan, but by regularly checking in and updating, you know, depending on where someone is. You know, it could be, you know, once a year if you're getting really close, you know, pulling that trigger and becoming retired. But then, secondly, once you are retired, every couple of years just to check in and make sure that we're on track.
Yeah, I would say there's a couple different phases when you're preparing for retirement, and we should at least address them. So when you're preparing, so I would say the first phase is when you are leading up to and preparing for retirement, and then kind of making sure, like what you're talking about, making sure that all these numbers are in line, and like what I'm saying, oh, are these numbers, do we have enough for retirement to be able to get us through? And then the second thing is the very, I would say, within the 12 months before retirement and the next 24 months after retirement, I think that's kind of like a transitional time that people are trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to replace my paycheck and how am I living and what does that look like in that transitional phase? I see it all the time. It's pretty much like clockwork, and people are trying to figure out what that looks like. And it takes a good 6 to 8 months to kind of get into that routine and what that looks like to kind of give them a peace of mind. And then the third segment is really in retirement and kind of getting the flow of what that looks like and kind of readjusting what their original maybe thoughts or fears were and kind of saying, okay, this is good.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm comfortable now. How am I going to modify and tweak kind of what that looks like during retirement?
Yeah. Okay. You know what? We're going to take a really quick break, and then we're going to cover a couple of the other things with regards to retirement planning.
With more than 25 years of experience, Bart's comprehensive perspective has earned acclaim from clients across the globe. Gain access to lessons learned throughout Bart's career by following at Bart Zandbergen on Instagram. To learn more about Bart Zandbergen as an advisor, mentor, and public speaker, and for more information on Optivest Wealth Management, please visit www.bartzandbergen.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I know Tish, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, so I know that we were talking about how much money you needed during retirement, and I know we just originally threw out there, okay, well, you're drawing X amount of money. I want to be able to emphasize a couple different ways of how you can make your money last, and maybe it just seems like a no-brainer for us, but maybe we'll just point it out to people. So some of the options when you're in retirement, you can pull money from savings. So like, let's say you're checking in the savings account, you can pull money from your investments and retirement accounts, and then you can also have some passive income that you have, maybe that's saying that you have rental property in the side, or you are still having a business and maybe you're doing consulting, or maybe you're have a side business on the, you know, that you've kind of stepped back as being the main person, but you're still kind of overseeing things, and you kind of come in every once in a while and oversee stuff, and you get some type of paycheck. Maybe you're the owner of the company. And those are kind of the different options you can draw from your money. So we've seen people do a combination of all of these, and it really just depends on how much money you need, but there's always options. And then there's sometimes people that create hobbies and they turn them into a total side revenue income stream as well. So I've seen a lot of different options from our individual clients, but just to know, you know, you don't want to just put all your money under the mattress or just leave it all in checking or savings. Or even when you are saying, okay, I want to retire now, I want to put all my money in in bonds, and I just want to earn just the income or the dividend from that. Because the reality is, you need to be able to, if you have say you're just retiring now and you're 65 and you have 30, 40 years to go, that money needs to be able to keep up with inflation. That money needs to be able to withstand the ups and the downs and the distributions that you're pulling from it. And you need to be able to take in consideration, if you're pulling money from a retirement account, you may have never paid taxes on that money. It's been deferred each and every year to help you with your taxes, but now is the time that you have to take in consideration. So you're pulling out more to cover the taxes. Maybe at the end of the day, the amount that gets deposited into your bank account is not as high. Yep. Is that?
And I think that kind of circles back to the importance of the financial plan to really calculate out what each of these plans is worth and the income possibilities.
Yeah.
So I think that's totally true.
Just knowing you have options out there, and that's great. And just don't be afraid to let your money work for you as well, at least part of it.
Yep. All right. So next I want to go into really just personal health.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but I forget who says this, but the quote is that health is the ultimate wealth.
Mm.
And, you know, we have seen people who have worked so hard to gain their wealth at the expense of their health.
Mm-hmm.
And then their latter years now are using all that wealth to try and regain their health.
Yeah.
And so I think this gets a little bit more philosophical, but I think there's a balance should be in place, because that second component, the cost of health. So there is healthcare, and you know, we don't have time to get into all the intricacies of Medicare and all that stuff, which maybe we can do on another show. But we find that there are some people who have just exorbitant amounts of medical expenses. I think some of which in part could have been eliminated or avoided just by having a better balanced life. So again, philosophical, but it is play a part in retirement planning. And I think this is a good time too to kind of redefine. So we're using the term retirement planning here now, and it's a very popular term. But one I know that you and I like to use is financial independence.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we have, and you know, we have our group of clients that are in their early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun for them to sometimes say that they're retired. But I think financial independence is a better definition, because, you know, should they decide to work, they can.
Yeah.
If they want to do something that is maybe well below what they were being paid before, they have the option to do so. And I think that's the key word, option.
Yeah.
If you don't want to work, great. If you want to take a couple years off, great. But that option to have that independence, I think, is key.
I would say, going back to the health, Bart, I think that you're a great example of that, because as Paul over here is coughing nonstop, and I recently just got over the holiday cold that's gone around, you know, even in your own household, everyone's been sick and somehow you've avoided it. And I think that, you know, what people don't talk about is the discipline about what you do. You work out every single day and you're constantly making sure that, you know, you are taking care of your health. But because of that, you're never sick. I mean, I know your kids and your wife and people around you are, but you seem to like avoid and dodge it every time. And I definitely think that taking care of your health is a big proponent of that.
Well, you know, thanks for saying that. I think at the end of the day, you know, my mode has always been to lead by example. So I try not to preach. I just try to show. And I just think it's so important to have that balance. So,
By the way, zero empathy for people being sick, because you're never sick.
Yeah, that's a personal issue I got.
All right. That's too funny. But some other things that I think we wanted to chat about that affect them with the retirement, and you want to say something along the lines of the landscape of the taxes and the tax changes and how that's affecting people in retirement?
Yeah, because I think that's an ever-moving target, right? We have what we have. Mm-hmm. And we can't control what's going to change. Tax rates change.
Yep.
Taxation or the rules behind Roth IRAs and IRAs, those tend to change. I think at the end, it's something that we have to accommodate for. And every year we realize what we have to work with. And I think a very common belief is that, hey, I'm retired, I'm going to be in a lot lower tax bracket. That's
very common.
I mean, how many people have we come in, hey, I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket? Well, here's the real definition. Your income defines your tax bracket, not whether you're actually working or not. So earned income versus unearned income make no difference.
Correct.
The only difference is capital gains, and that's maybe, again, another subject. So I say that if we, you and I, have done a good job with our clients during their working years, they will not be in a lower tax bracket because we're going to have an incredible a pot of gold, if you will, that's generating money. And then hopefully it's the same amount that they were making while they were working.
Yeah.
And so therefore they're in the same tax bracket. So,
right.
And that comes into play too. And that's where a little more sophisticated planning comes into place with, hey, do I do a Roth IRA, which is no deduction now and is tax-free in the future? Or do a regular IRA, a regular retirement accounts? So those are, I mean, that's all part of planning. But, you know, the big takeaway is to make sure that that you realize what that your tax bracket is based off of your income.
And so if you were going to just be granular just for today, if people are saying, okay, great, I understand moving target, taxes go up, taxes go down, taxes change. I don't know if they really always go down, but they change. So the Tax Act of 2017, a lot of things changed, but not a whole lot in regards to retirement and retirement planning. And there's one specific portion that did change, and that's the Roth conversion recharacterization. And I know that's a lot to say. Bart, do you want to just explain quickly what it is? And it is a tool that people can use.
Yeah. So a Roth conversion is actually taking money that you have in a traditional IRA or retirement account and then, quote unquote, converting it to a Roth, which means you pay taxes that current year, but from that year forward, there will be no more taxes, not a penny taxes on what's left in that account.
And you want to work with a CPA and your wealth manager at the same time when you're doing that.
Correct, because there's it makes sense to do something like that. This is generally speaking, this is not advice, this is generally speaking, when someone is having a lower tax bracket year. So maybe maybe they're out of work for a partial year, and or they didn't get the bonuses or commissions or was pushed, or you're a business owner, you're able to control your income a little bit. Lower tax year, lower tax bracket, that's the time you want to convert because you can pay the taxes in.
Yeah.
In previous years, earlier in the year, we could do it, and knowing that, hey, if something happened, client made a big commission at the end of the year or had a much better year, hey, you're way too high of a tax bracket, we don't want to convert as much or any of this.
Yeah.
Let's quote-unquote recharacterize it back to the way it was. Well, the new tax laws have taken that away.
Right.
So we have to be a little more careful in the planning to, of whether or not we want to do that.
Right. And something I think is really wonderful is if it's done right, clients at the end of the day say they don't qualify for a Roth because of their income level, husband and wife, the amount of money that they've made each year, that there's certain levels and caps that you have on an income level. And then once you hit that, you can't do a Roth anymore. So this gives them the opportunity to be able to do that. And then again, if they've done the Roth over a number of years later on in life, they can start pulling that money out and not have to pay taxes on that. And so we have some clients that do that and have had a great strategy, and they have done incredibly well. So now later on in life, when they're retired and they're in the latter part of their lives, they're not having to be as stressed out about the taxes associated with it because they have a bigger bucket of money that's being pulled out each and every year that's tax-free.
Yeah. You know, we're running a little, we're getting towards the end, short on time, but, you know, I just wanted to maybe use a couple of stories of clients. And, you know, I think this is the reason that you and I are in the business. It's helping people and get to this point.
Yeah.
And the trust and faith that they place in us really just makes, I think, our career, our job worthwhile. And we've had, and it seems like in the last few years, we've had many more than usual. You know, we had a couple, of course, the group that sold their business, and that was a whole other type of retirement, financial independence planning. But for the others who have worked hard, you know, our entire lives and saved a few million dollars and working so closely with us to, hey, can we do this?
Yeah.
And I always say retirement planning is a lot like steering a big cruise ship.
Yeah.
Because you want to make your, the earlier you plan, the earlier you can start to make turns, because you can't make a 90 degree right turn with a cruise ship.
You're going to hit an iceberg.
That's right. So I would really encourage our listeners to start early, plan early.
Yeah.
You know, my older kids, I had a rule, not that that meant anything. They had to do their 401ks and IRAs, and it worked for about a year or two, and then that kind of fell off. And now they're, now that they're older, they're really wishing they would have kept that going. So the early you start, clearly there's compound interest, there's time, and there's no better combination of things.
Yeah.
And I would really encourage our listeners to do so.
And also making sure that if you are in a place in your life that you know that you want to leave something to your heirs, I think that earlier that you can have a discussion with them about what your plans are and clue them in at least a little bit, so then that way that they know, and they might have some ideas. I know it sounds crazy, these young bucks here that might have some ideas, but just in general, you know, at the end of the day, making sure that if you have a legacy, you're passing on to your heirs, that you're being able to do it in the best fashion possible, and then everyone is really, you know, taken care of and your wishes are followed through on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're at the end, and Tish, I know that this is your favorite part, to tell everyone how to reach us, find us, follow us, so you're on.
Yeah, you're going to tell the email address, but I'm going to say log in, and our Zanbergen Report, Wealth Strategies and Investment Wisdom, we are all over the place on podcasts, so Podbeam, and we're on iTunes and iHeart and several others, so you can even just go to Google and put in Zanbergen Report Wealth Strategies Investment Wisdom. And we're also on social media, and we like to get questions and answers there and kind of do a lot more engaging with our clients and audience. And we are on Instagram, and we are on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, all these fun sites. And you can also go to our website as well to find out more about us. And also, if you have things that are, you want to know or that are on your mind, that we're here. So I'm Letitia Burbaum, and that's L-E-T-I-T-I-A Burbaum, B-E-R-B-A-U-M, and then it's at all those sites. And then Bart, you want to say yours?
Sure, it's Bart Zanbergen, and our direct email for the podcast is podcast@bartzanbergen.com,
mm-hmm.
and it's B-A-R-T-Z-A-N-D-B-E-R-G-E-N. Great being in the studio this week. Look forward to seeing and talking to everyone next week. Have a great week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zanbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzanbergen.podbean.com. The Zanbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzanbergen.com. Bart A. Zanbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest Inc. and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest Inc. under SEC registration.